Hi, and thank you for downloading this podcast from Millpool Hill Church, Birmingham. There's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven who loves you and he is for you. In 603 BC, Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon and the most powerful man in the world. Now, one night he had a disturbing dream. And he didn't know its meaning. In the dream, he saw a huge statue of a man with a head made of gold, chest and arms made of silver, belly and thighs made of bronze, legs made of iron, and its feet and toes mixed both with iron and clay. Nebuchadnezzar was disturbed by this dream. What did it mean? And so he called together all his wise men and enchanters. And he said to them, "Tell me the dream and what it means, otherwise you'll die." Now one of the wise men in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar was called Daniel. Daniel was a young captive from Judah, a godly young man. Daniel prayed, believing that God could give him the revelation of what the king dreamt, and also what it would mean. And whilst Daniel prayed, and his three friends prayed also, Daniel went to bed and slept. And in the night, God spoke to him in a dream and told him exactly what Nebuchadnezzar had seen and what it meant. And so Daniel rose from his bed. He stood before the royal court and declared, "There is a God in heaven." Daniel chapter 2, verse 27. Daniel replied, "There are no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or fortune tellers who can reveal the king's secret. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the future. Now I will tell you your dream and the visions you saw as you lay on your bed." And so God bless Daniel with revelation from heaven. There is a God in heaven who can bless us in so many wonderful ways. Now, maybe you're going through a difficult time with challenges to your health, your family, your job, your finances, your emotions. You might be feeling drained of energy, frustrated at how things are happening and working out, and maybe even possibly low in your faith. But I want to encourage you today, there is a God in heaven, and that means there is hope. There's a God in heaven. He is the first and last, the beginning and the end. He is the creator and keeper of creation. He is the architect of the universe and the Lord of glory. He is the great I am. He is the eternal God of all glory. And it's his desire to have a personal relationship with you through his son, Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He will never let you down. He will never forget or overlook you. His door is always open for you to walk in and to talk with him. There's a God in heaven. In tough times, remember the door of heaven is open. Don't forget that prayer is a pathway to the tangible presence of God. Prayer is power for Christian living. Prayer is preparation for the battle that lies ahead in the heavenly realms. Prayer changes things. And so when we get on our knees before the God of heaven, we can then boldly stand before men and declare the word of the Lord, just like Daniel did. You need to know that there's a God in heaven who can give you revelation. Just as God revealed Nebuchadnezzar's dream to Daniel, God can reveal things to you. God can speak to you through visions, through dreams, through the power of his Holy Spirit, whispering in your heart and through his word. We know that God can speak into our situations when we're not sure about the way forward. For instance, God gave Joshua strategy for taking the city of Jericho, that first big city that was opposing the people of God going into the promised land. God told Joshua just how to march around the walls of Jericho without making any noise. And then on the final day of marching around the walls of Jericho, to give a great shout. And as they did that, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. God gave a man called Asaph, a psalmist, a musician, understanding on the end outcome of the wicked. Asaph was getting all upset about how the wicked were seemingly prospering, and it seemed so unfair that wicked people were getting all the good things in life. But then Asaph went into the house of God, and God revealed to him exactly what would happen to the wicked, that they would come to a final judgment. And that gave peace to Asaph. God gave Peter knowledge on the deception of Ananias and Sapphira, two people in the early church. They were living in a time when people were selling their fields and properties and bringing the money to the apostles and making a contribution to the house of God, to the church. And Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of land, and they got a certain amount of money for it, but they kept some back for themselves. But they gave the rest of the money to the church, and they made out that they were big givers, and this was everything they'd got for the field, although they had secretly kept some back. And God revealed to Peter that Ananias were conniving and deceiving, and the judgment of God came upon them. God did not want that behaviour in his church. God gave John on the Isle of Patmos a vision of glory and future events, which when they were written down became the book of Revelation. And so God can give us words of knowledge that open up situations. God can bring us words and visions and revelation that bring light into a situation where there's darkness. And I wonder today, do you need some kind of revelation? Well, I've got some good news for you. There's a God in heaven. And if you pray and seek his face, he is able to reveal to you what you need to know. There's a God in heaven who can heal you. It's his promise, you know. Exodus 15 verse 26 says, I am the Lord who heals you. Psalm 41 verse 3, the Lord nurses them when they are sick and restores them to health. When the Israelites were bitten by fiery serpents, God was able to heal them. The Israelites were rebelling against God and complaining, and God sent fiery serpents into the Israelite camp as judgment. And when the serpents bit the people, the fiery venom went through their veins and caused them to die a terrible death. And when the people realized this was God's judgment against them, they cried out to Moses in repentance. And God told Moses to make a bronze snake and to fix it to a pole, and then to lift up the pole and to tell the people, if they've been bitten by the fiery serpents, to look to the serpent on the pole. And if they would do that in faith, God would heal them. And sure enough, just as Moses did that, people were being healed all around the camp. This actually was a picture of what God would do many, many hundreds of years later, when something else was placed on a pole. Not something, but somebody, his son. This was a picture of Jesus who loved us and gave himself upon the cross. And Jesus didn't die just because people had been bitten by snakes. He died on the cross to bring forgiveness and healing and wholeness to our lives because of the power of sin that was causing death in us. Jesus came to set us free, and he did that by dying on the cross. God can heal us. When Naaman had leprosy, God healed him. We read about that in 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, the big general of the Aramean army who had leprosy. Yes, he was powerful, he was rich, but that was nothing in the face of leprosy. He was facing a painful death, but God healed him of his leprosy. And God can heal you this morning. And then what about Hezekiah lying on his deathbed? God spoke to him through the prophet and gave him another 15 years of life. Jesus healed the sick, the lame, the lepers, the blind, the mute, and raised the dead. And we know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is a God in heaven who can heal you. Thomas Geaches knows that there is a God in heaven In the summer of 2016, Tom had severe chest pain, and after going back to the hospital several times, he was finally admitted, and the doctors discovered a massive tumour in his chest, a mediastinal teratoma, a rare cancer wedged between his left lung and his heart. And we, along with many others around the world, prayed for Tom's healing. We kept praying and believing that the God of heaven could heal. You see, there's a God in heaven who does heal. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. And there is no limit to his power. And so on the 13th of December 2016, the doctors removed the tumour. And then on the 12th of January 2017, the doctors gave Tom the all clear that there was no trace of cancer in his body. God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Do you need healing today? Well, there's a God in heaven who can heal the sick, and he wants to heal you. And all we have to do is to come to him in faith through the name of Jesus. There is a God in heaven who can anoint you with the power of his Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, people were sometimes anointed with sacred oil, a symbolic sign that God had chosen them for a special task, a symbolic sign that God had empowered them for their ministry. God anointed Bezalel for artistic ability to build the tabernacle in the wilderness, this place of meeting with God, a place of worship. God anointed Samson with delivering power, so he was able to go up and fight against the Philistines and defeat them. God anointed David for leadership ability, and David became the first king of Israel after King Saul. God anointed Isaiah for prophetic ability to bring God's word. God also anointed Elisha with a double portion of the Holy Spirit so he could go out and declare the word of the Lord also to his generation. God anointed the apostles to preach the gospel and the word of God. And God anointed all those early Christians with the power of his Spirit so they could witness and tell others about the hope that they had within their hearts, the hope of Jesus. And friends, today we have a message of hope as a church. As the people of God, we have the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to share with our generation and with our world that needs hope, that needs to know that they're loved, needs to know that there's a God in heaven that loves them, that sent his son Jesus to die for them, a God in heaven who can transform their lives. And there's only one thing they have to do, and that's to trust in him and let him do it. Even Jesus was anointed for his earthly ministry. And so if Jesus needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit, how much more you and I today need that anointing? Do you want the anointing? Do you want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Well, I've got some good news for you. There's a God in heaven who can anoint you. Jesus said, how much more will the Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him? There's a God in heaven who can provide for your needs. It's his promise. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. When God tested Abraham's faith by asking him to offer his only son Isaac high up on Mount Moriah, Abraham obeyed and he took the boy high up on the mountain and made a fire, and then he tied the boy up and put the boy on the wood, ready to light the wood and to set fire to the sacrifice. And then he lifted up a knife, ready to kill the boy, to make that ultimate sacrifice out of his love and faith for God, out of his sheer obedience for the Almighty. And just as he lifted the knife to strike the boy, God called from heaven and said, stop it, you don't need to do this. And God had tested Abraham's faith. And when Abraham looked up, he saw a ram that had suddenly appeared from nowhere, and its horns had been caught in a thicket. And this was God providing a ram for the sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And Abraham looked up and he said to his son, God, is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. And he is. You see, there's a God in heaven that provides for us, a God in heaven who does amazing things for his people. When we Israelites were in the wilderness, God gave them manna, that's bread from heaven, to supply their need for 40 years. When Elijah went to the Kerith Brook, God sent ravens to him twice a day to feed him with bread and with meat. And then when Elijah went on to another place called Zarephath, he met a widow lady there with her little son. She just had enough food, literally, for one last meal. And Elijah said, "Will you give me something to eat?" And the widow obeyed, and she gave the man of God something to eat. In fact, she was giving to God, even in her need. But she trusted the Lord. And as she gave to the man of God, somehow that bread, that flour, that oil that could make bread and food just multiplied. And all the time there was a famine in the land, God used that little bit of oil, that little bit of flour, to keep on making bread so that this widow, her son, and the prophet of God would be miraculously provided for. When 5,000 people or even more listened to Jesus' teaching and they suddenly got hungry at the end of the day, Jesus took just a few loaves and fish and he miraculously fed such a great multitude. You see, there's a God in heaven who can provide for your needs. Now, over the years, I've seen God marvellously provide for other people and also for myself. You see, God loves us so much. He is more than able to provide for our physical needs. Why? Because he's our healer. He's able to provide for our emotional needs. Why? Because he's the great comforter and the counselor of our souls. He's able to provide for our financial needs. He is, in fact, my supply for every need that I have. Not my wants, but my needs. He is the one who can provide for my spiritual needs. He's my saviour and he is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Do you need some kind of provision today? Well, there's a God in heaven who can meet that need. God is the God who can open doors. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. When Joseph was held in prison, God opened the door for him to be the prime minister of Egypt. When Peter was on death row and awaiting the execution the next day, God sent an angel to break him out of jail. When Paul was at the port town of Troas, wondering, "Where do I go from here?" God opened a great effective door of ministry for him in Macedonia. And the truth is this, friends, God can open doors for us. I remember the time when I needed to travel to America, when our son wanted to marry a Californian girl in her hometown of Modesto. Unfortunately, my past bad choices meant that I was denied a visa to going to America. We were absolutely heartbroken. But there's a God in heaven, and we sought him for some breakthrough. And just a few weeks later, the American embassy granted me a visa. God opened the door for me to travel to America and actually to conduct the wedding of my eldest son and his fiancée. God can open a door for new jobs, new opportunities, new ministry, and even new friends. He can do anything. There's a God in heaven. Do you need an open door? There's a God in heaven who can provide for you. Job knew that there was a God in heaven. Job knew that God was his redeemer. The story of Job is hard reading. Job is a righteous man who loves and worships God. And God points Job out to Satan one day, and Satan questions Job's faith. "Yeah, Job's only like this because you bless him so much." That's what Satan said to God. So God allowed Satan to strip Job of his wealth, his kids, his health, and his wife's support. And Satan does just that. And now Job is in a bad state. The tide has gone well out. And despite all the harsh adversity that Job was facing, he knew that there's a God in heaven. And that's why he could proclaim, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Our faith is often tested, but God won't allow us to be tested beyond what we can endure. He might sit as the great refiner, but he does it to bring the best out of us. Job maintained his faith and his integrity, and God brought the testing to an end. God is able to turn the tide. And in Job chapter 42, we read that God turned things around. The tide came back in. And in fact, God blessed Job with twice as much as he had before. Has the tide gone out in your life? Is it a long, dark night? Well, I want to tell you, stay focused on God. Maintain your faith in him. There's a God in heaven who can make all things work together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. The God of heaven loves you and he wants to save you. This week, remember that there's a God in heaven who can give you revelation. He can heal you, anoint you, provide for you and open doors. He can turn the tide. There's a God in heaven. When you fall, he will lift you up. When you fail, he will forgive you. When you are weak, he will be your strength. When you are lost, he will be your way. When you are afraid, he will be your courage. When you are hurt, he will heal you. When you are hungry, he will feed you. When you face trials, he will be with you. And his desire, more than anything else, is to have a personal relationship with you through Jesus. Do you know that there's a God in heaven? You can know him personally through faith in Jesus. So why not trust him today as your Lord and your Savior? Choose to receive forgiveness through Jesus. Choose to enjoy the eternal life Jesus promises. Choose to follow him and live for him. And if that's your choice today, why don't you now bow your head and pray this simple prayer of salvation with me right now. Ask Jesus into your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I gladly welcome you into my life right now. Forgive me my sin, my wrong actions and attitudes. Thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place on the cross. Thank you for the promise of forgiveness and new life, which I now receive from you in faith. Jesus, I truly believe in you and ask you to come into my heart. I now confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you. We would love to pray for you. So please do get in touch with us through the contact page on our website, www.millpoolhill.com. Thank you for listening. Be encouraged and never forget there's a God in heaven who loves you.